Now the evening bell is ringing, people used to say. The sun is setting. People who were outside the town, where the houses were more scattered, with little gardens or fields between them, could see the evening sky in even more splendor and hear the bell more distinctly. It was as if the tones came from some church, buried in the silent and fragrant depths of the forest, and people looked solemnly in that direction. A long time passed, and people began to say to each other, "I wonder if there really is a church out there in the woods. That bell has a mysterious, sweet tone. Let's go out there and see what it looks like." So the rich people drove out, and the poor people walked out, but to all of them it seemed a very long way. When they reached the grove of willows on the outskirts of the woods, they sat down and looked up into the branches and imagined they were really in the heart of the forest. The town confectioner came out and set up his tent there, and then another confectioner came, and he hung a bell right above his tent, but the bell had no clapper and was all tarred over as a protection against the rain. When the people went home again, they said it had all been very romantic, much more fun than a tea party. Three people even said they had gone right through the forest to the far side and had still heard the strange sound of the bell. Only then, it seemed to be coming from the direction of town. One of these even wrote a poem about the bell and compared its tones to those of a mother singing to a beloved child. No melody could be sweeter than the tones of that bell. The emperor of the country heard about the bell and issued a solemn proclamation promising that whoever discovered the source of the lovely sounds would receive the title of bell ringer to the world, even if there were not really a bell there at all. Of course, a great many people went to the woods now to try to gain that fine title, but only one of them came back with some kind of an explanation. No one had been deep enough into the forest, neither had he, for that matter, but just the same, he said the sound was made by a very large owl in an old hollow tree, a wise owl, which continually knocked its head against the trunk of that tree. He wasn't quite sure whether the sound came from the bird's head or from the hollow trunk, but still, he was appointed public bell ringer number one, and every year he wrote a little treatise about the remarkable old owl. No one was much the wiser for it. Now, on a certain confirmation day, the minister had preached a very beautiful and moving sermon. The children who were confirmed were deeply touched by it. It was a tremendously important day in their lives, for on this day, they were leaving childhood behind and becoming grown-up persons. Their infant souls would take wing into the bodies of adults. It was a glorious sunny day, and after the confirmation, the children walked together out of the town, and from the depths of the woods, the strange tolling of the bell came with a mysterious, clear sweetness. At once, all the children decided to go into the woods and find the bell, all except three, that is to say. The first of these three just had to go home and try on a new ball dress, for that forthcoming ball was the very reason she had been confirmed at this time. Otherwise, she would have had to wait until next year's ceremony. The second was a poor boy who had borrowed his confirmation coat and boots from the landlord's son and had to give them back by a certain hour. And the third said he never went to a strange place without his parents. He had always been a dutiful child and would continue to be good, even though he was confirmed now. The others made fun of him for this, which was very wrong of them indeed. So these three dropped out while the others started off into the woods. The sun shone, the birds sang, and the children sang too, walking along hand in hand. They had not yet received any responsibilities or high position in life. All were equal in the eye of God on that confirmation day. But soon, two of the smallest grew tired and returned to town. Two other little girls sat down to make wreaths and so did not go any further. The rest went on until they reached the willows where the confectioner had his tent, and then they said, "Well, here we are. You see, the bell doesn't really exist at all. It's just something people imagine." And then suddenly the sound of the bell came from the depths of the woods, so sweet and solemn that four or five of the young people decided to follow it still further. The underbrush was so thick and close that their advance was most difficult. Woodruff and anemone grew almost too high. Convolvuluses and blackberry brambles hung in long garlands from tree to tree, where the nightingale sang and the sunbeams played through the leaves. It was so lovely and peaceful.